Welcome to the Mentor Files. I'm your host, Monica Royer, founder and CEO of Monica and Andy. Join me as I chat with some of the world's leading entrepreneurs, inspiring CEOs, and experts at the top of their field to bring you the audible MBA, unfiltered advice, and mentorship every mover and maker needs to find their voice and success. Here we go. Our guest today is a New York Times bestselling author, entrepreneur, venture capitalist, and, of course, my favorite, mom. Alexa von Tobel founded LearnVest in 2008 with the goal of helping people make progress on their money. Just 7 years later, the company was acquired by Northwestern Mutual for $375 million, one of the biggest fintech acquisitions of the decade. Following the acquisition, Alexa joined Northwestern as the company's first ever chief digital officer and eventually assumed the role of chief innovation officer, where she oversaw Northwestern Mutual's venture arm. Alexa isn't slowing down anytime soon. Just last year, she launched Inspired Capital, a VC firm based in New York City, investing in seed and Series A stage technology-driven startups. The firm raised a cool $200 million late last year, making it one of the biggest debut funds out of New York. Alexa has appeared on the cover of Forbes magazine and is featured in everything from the New York Times to Vogue. She was named to Fortune's 40 Under 40's Most Powerful Women and Forbes and Inc. magazine's 30 Under 30. Alexa's path to success is fascinating. On top of running Inspired Capital, she's a mom to three young kids and has some invaluable advice about how she balances the two. I'm excited for you to hear from Alexa. So today I am incredibly excited to welcome Alexa von Tobel, the founder and managing partner at Inspired Capital. Alexa, welcome.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much, Monica.
Yes. Oh my gosh, so excited to be here as well. And it's so funny. I remember not too long ago, I was like thinking about different people that I wanted to meet. And I mentioned your name to my brother and he was like, oh my gosh, Alexa is the best. So obviously that was like a high recommendation coming from him. But for people that don't know you or don't know about Inspired Capital, tell us a little bit about yourself, Alexa.
Well, so first, I always start by saying I'm a relatively, I think, normal person in that I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I have three little kids. I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida, and then went to Harvard undergrad where I studied psychology and mind, brain, behavior, and actually worked in a happiness lab, which I really, really lean on a lot because I learned so much about what makes us happy. And I always say it's very productive and helpful to the business world and just being a human. And then I'm a serial entrepreneur. So was involved in the company in the file storage space that got acquired by Facebook and then went back to HBS and then dropped out in the fall of 2008, which is kind of wild. And actually that's when I met your amazing brother, who's so wonderful, is when I decided to move to New York and be a sole founder and build LearnVest. And about 5-6 years later, we got acquired for about $375 million. And we got acquired on a Wednesday. And I had our first my first daughter that weekend, which was absolutely insane. And don't do that. Like, it was the most intense week of my life. And at one point, my husband was like super nervous and like really stressed out. And I looked at him and I was like, you have got to pull it together because I have to survive. But then anyways, after that, I had a wonderful time at Northwestern Mutual for a few years, who acquired us. And now we launched Inspired Capital, $200 million fund here in New York City to pay it forward to entrepreneurs who want to build great things in the future.
Oh my gosh. Well, Alexa, what an incredible story. Tell me a little bit to take it a step back to some of what you were just talking about. Dropping out in 2008 and then starting LearnVest. Tell me a little bit about that transition.
So, you know, I think, you know, people always say entrepreneurs are like totally big risk takers. And in many ways, like I am very comfortable with risk. I've skydived, I've, you know, bungee jumped. I was a platform diver. But I always say I'm really comfortable with like thoughtful risk. And so, you know, I don't just like jump off a cliff without actually knowing if it is it deep enough and yada, yada. What I think with LearnVest, what, you know, I started working on the company when I was 23. I founded it May of 2007. And I'd been writing a business plan and incorporating it and noodling on the idea and you know, taking month by month bigger steps to saying, I really want to go do this. So that by the time I was dropping out of Harvard Business School, it was like infectious in a way where I couldn't not do it. I, you know, started bringing on some freelancers and I had the brand and logo and I had the business model in place. And it was just a matter of me having the guts to actually go and take that leap. So I would just say starting LearnVest was, it took a while. Like it wasn't a, I made the decision and I jumped off the cliff. It was like I was constantly making sure that the idea was a good one and that it would work. So yeah, so that's how I started LearnVest. And I will say one thing before that, which is I think I've always been an entrepreneur though. You know, I've always built little things and it feels like I'm in my natural element when I'm doing that.
And what do you think, Alexa, in terms of that always being an entrepreneur? It's something I've actually been thinking about a lot recently is that as you hire people on your team, regardless of expertise at a startup, you know, and at a small one like the one that we're at here with Monica and Andy, it's sort of everybody has to have that entrepreneurial spirit. And so what do you think about like the factors of your personality that make you the most entrepreneurial?
That's a great question. I think that the things about my personality that make me very entrepreneurial, the core of it, I would say, is that I am really comfortable being out on the edge. So I'll start by saying that. Like, I don't really look for a lot of other people for like personal confidence and support. And what I mean by that is like, I don't really care if nobody agrees with me or if people think what I'm doing is insane. And I think that's really, it's like my confidence comes from within, not from without. And I, by the way, I've never said this out loud. And I think as I'm saying this, I think this is really a helpful point, which is, and it's not mean that I'm like, oh, I don't care at all what anybody thinks about anything. What I mean is when I've done the work, I'm okay being contrarian and I'm okay standing. So I'm not contrarian for contrarian's sake. I'm not the person who's like, I'm going to choose Coke because everyone else chose Diet Coke. I'm the person who like, once I've done enough work on something, I'm really okay being alone and like swimming uphill or swimming against the current if I really am convicted. And so like, let me put that into practical terms. I dropped out of Harvard Business School at the bottom of the worst recession in 81 years. And truly my classmates thought I was nuts. Like one of my better guy friends, I sat next to him at dinner a month ago, and, you know, almost a decade later, he said to me, "We thought you were insane. Like we felt badly for you." And I knew in my heart that what I was doing was 100% the right thing for me. Like I just, this little voice in me knew I was doing the right thing. And so I think that's a really important trait of an entrepreneur, because often you have to swim against everybody and you have to not get your confidence from other people's opinions, because probably if you're going to be alone. And so one other thing I'll just say, like when everybody zigs, zag, like that's a bit of a mentality, which is if you're trying to find the abundance, it's going to be where nobody else is. And so I get my confidence for myself. The other just traits I think of good entrepreneurs are the magnetism. And for me, like I have so much energy, and people who really know me and have known me for a decade, I'm fortunate that a lot of my favorite people I've ever worked with still work with me. We've been together for like 11 years for a lot of them. It just doesn't wane. Like I run at a speed. I have a lot of energy. I'm really optimistic and I am a positive person by nature. You know, like for me during right now, the coronavirus, I'm like, I am very optimistic that it will all turn out okay. That doesn't mean I don't take precautions. It's just like, I'm a positive person. And so I do think people want people who are positive and have that vision of like a better world. And then the final thing I'll just say is like, I'm a really mission-driven entrepreneur. Like when I do something, it's because it's not attached just to a business. It's like, I care about helping people. I care about making the world a better place. It is how I was raised. My parents were both in medicine and my brothers are both doctors. And I really care that like we should make the world better. And I think people are, you know, some of your best companies are mission-driven companies. So sorry, that was a mouthful, but those are some of the things that come to mind.
Yeah, no, and I love so much about what you just said. I feel like for people that are listening that are starting their own business, I think you hit on so many of the pillars that are so important, not only to found a company, but to work at a company, to work at a startup as well. And I think first and foremost, like the optimism and the energy is so necessary. And I think that, you know, I've hired people over time that are more skeptically optimistic, you know, people that are completely optimistic about things. But I think you have to believe in the impossible, whether you're starting a startup or you're working at a startup, because there's so much in the face of what you realize you can't do, and there's so many forces against you that unless you believed you could, you literally wouldn't be able to sleep at night. Like the day would never end. And a lot of times it feels like it never ends. But I think it's that idea that like you dust yourself off when you wake up the next day and you're like, all right, like all of these forces were against me, but I still have a vision for where I'm going to go and I'm going to get there. And I do think that's such an incredibly important quality and one that I didn't really know before. I'm also like an incredibly optimistic person, but I didn't know how much that would need to factor into the job that I was doing because nobody had ever told me that. So for people listening, I do think that optimism and like a considerable amount of energy is absolutely needed to found a company. And then to your point, to really believe in the mission of what you're doing, because that's what gets you out of bed again and again. But I'd never quite heard it put into words like that. In terms of your confidence, Alexa, we're starting as a, you know, by the time this podcast comes out, we're working now as a brand to start to instill confidence in the next group of female entrepreneurs. And we're talking to girls now like ages 6 to 12 to hopefully inspire them to go into entrepreneurship. So if we go back to like the little girl, Alexa, are there things in your, from your childhood or like experiences that you've had along the way that have helped to build that inner confidence? Because I feel like that's sort of the holy grail and the thing, especially as women, that's a very difficult thing to develop, but something like you said, you absolutely need when you're founding a company.
Yeah. So I have to give all of the credit just to the way I was raised. And you know, I have no idea, did I come out this way? Was it that? So I have two older brothers. One was 8 years older than me, 7.5 to be exact, and the other is about 4. And so, you know, I came into the world with two big brothers. And one thing that definitely I think played into it was like, they let me hang with them. They brought me along for the ride. And it was very much like, if you want to play with the big kids, you got to keep up mentality. And so, so that was just, I think, you know, just the way I was nurtured. And my parents both were developmental specialists. My dad was a pediatric behavioral specialist, developmental pediatrician. And then my mom was a developmental pediatric nurse. Like, they probably did some good things to help instill some confidence in me, to give them like all the appropriate credit that was due. But all that said, I think that probably the things that were the most powerful to just like developing a confidence in my own, like it's really a deep trust in myself, which I can't pinpoint exactly where it came from, but I think this is the best way I can articulate it. One, my elder brothers like challenged me a bunch and would be like, we think you can read Mice and Men, but at age, you know, 5th grade, not age 8th grade. And I would read it and I'd be like, okay, I get it. And like they would help me bat above like what I should have been batting above all the time. And my middle brother, Brandon, was the absolute best at this. He looked after me. He challenged me. He's incredibly bright. And he would push me academically. And I think, but like then would be there to help make sure I was learning. That was one. And then sports did the same. So I was a diver. I was 9th in the state of Florida, like within 2 months of starting to dive. And like, I think just like that comfort of like athleticism, which is train hard, work hard, do the work, put in the hours, and then perform. And that created like a real, and I was an elite gymnast when I was younger. So that created like a real muscle memory for me of like work hard, work hard, work hard, and see results. And so I think I don't feel confident, to be crystal clear, when I don't know what the hell I'm talking about and when I haven't done work. So like, you won't see me exude confidence. You'll see me say, I don't know the answer because I haven't done the work. And so I think that's kind of how I draw the lines. And I think that probably is a bunch of it. And there's a book called The Growth Mindset that I really love as I raise my own children, which is teaching people that hard work and their effort can give them the ability to succeed. It's how you like micro build fabric of confidence in people. And that's what I'm hoping to do with my own children. But I really have to credit so much to my parents and my brothers who, they would challenge me and then they would like let me do the work and get there.
I think that's incredible. It's so fun to get to talk to like people like yourself, all these incredible founders and entrepreneurs and venture capitalists, and to go back and think about how, for the better or for the worse, how much your childhood shapes you into the entrepreneur that you become. And of course, everybody, there's all different personality types, but it seems like everyone that I've asked that question has been able to hone in on like, hey, here are some of the reasons that like, a young Alexa or a young whoever it is was set out on this path. And I think about that now all the time with my daughter, like the little things that she experiences. I'm sure you think about the same things with your own kids. You're like, oh my goodness, how will what I'm doing be shaping for better or for worse? And I guess there's like a long timetable on figuring out where that goes on who this person will become. Alexa, tell me a little bit. You talked about how you sold your company and then you pretty much like a week later had a baby. Obviously, as you and I both know, like entrepreneurship is so much fun. Mothering, being a mom is like both incredibly rewarding and incredibly humbling in so many ways. Tell me a little bit about what that was really like behind the trenches. Cause I can't imagine like, you know, racing to the finish line and getting a sale done as you're literally just about to have a baby. So talk to us a little bit more about that.
So I like smile as you say that. So my daughter's birthday is March 31st and I went into labor on the 29th. I started labor on a night of a Sunday and I delivered her that crack of dawn of Tuesday morning. So it was a really long labor. I still learned best on March 25th. So I'm almost 5 years in. My daughter's turning five. And I always joke I have like a human marker for my career. And honestly, I try so hard to be really present. I feel like the way I live my life is in these sprints of just like accomplishing and doing a ton of things. And I have three kids under the age of five. So I have a five-year-old, a two-year-old, and an almost one-year-old, which is like the best blessing. My husband and I like pinch ourselves every day. We feel so lucky and like they're so cute and they love each other and it's heaven to be a mom. And at the same time, like tracking moms in careers and dads in careers. And like, we're both, you know, all the people who are like, you know, pick two, like friends in family, work and like, you know, life or whatever the three are. I can never keep track of the three, but they always say pick two. I don't believe that. And I have a different equation, which is you're obviously going to love your family. You're obviously going to love your friends. And if you love your work, like truly love it, I actually think you can make all of them work. And that is like my key to work-life balance is like, I've done jobs before or had periods of time in jobs before where I was really unhappy. And then nothing works because it's like, you're not happy at home because you're stressed out about work. You're not happy at work because you don't like work. You're not healthy because you're stressed. It all breaks. And I think one of the things that I'm so fortunate, and I can't remember what mentor once said this to me, but they said, figure out what you're good at and do it as soon as humanly possible in your career, and you'll be extremely successful. And I believe that that quote applies to success everywhere. And what I mean by that, and by the way, I say this and God, please don't strike me down at the time that I'm like saying how grateful I am that I like love my job and love my kids and family. but I think why it works is like, you're obviously going to love your family. And if you really like your career and your job, and it doesn't mean every minute you love it, but like macro, you really love it. Everything kind of works. And so you ask the question, like, what was that like? How am I? It's blurry. Like that's the truth. Right. Like, It's all in flux. There's sprints and then there's periods of recoup. So like there's definitely months where it's like, whoa, like so much just happened. For example, like I launched the $200 million venture fund in the same month that I had my third child and I sold LearnDesk and had a baby 3 days later. Like that's insane. And it's insane. There's no other way to say it. I remember every minute, but at the same time, it was like on the macro quite blurry. But then there's moments where I stop everything and I just do kids and I do it deep and with full focus and full attention to recoup and make sure like it's not going too fast. And so I haven't figured it all out. I love nothing more than talking to lots of other friends, guys, moms, women on like what's their hacks and what's their keys to life balance. But for me, mine is I have to love my job. And if I love my job, you're happy. And when you're happy, you have more energy. You can do things better. You just, it works. You sleep through the night, by the way. Like it's really helpful. And so that is the best thing I can say. And with that said, my asterisk to all of it is like, I'm still living in it. My household sometimes is like completely chaotic, like, you know, forget birthday presents at the party, like all of the mistakes, like the husband put my daughter's pull up pink diaper on my son the other night and we woke up and realized like we peed everywhere. Like we make all the mistakes. Like we're blurry, messy parents. but we giggle and we're happy. And I think that's part of what makes the world go round.
Yeah. And we're in such a different generation of moms too. And I mean, there's so much of a privilege to the blurriness between work and family. And then, and as you put it, like sometimes like being present and there's complications to the privilege of the blurriness between work and family and all of those things. So it's fun to get to talk to people to understand like how do different people balance different things. And I found, you know, very similarly that, you know, transitioning from one to another, like sometimes there isn't really transition times, like over the course of like even having this job. So you know, I've had a couple of miscarriages and like, oh, you know, it's like everything, one thing just like flows into the next to a certain degree. And I do think the thing I've loved most about loving the job, you know, in addition to the family is like, it gives me so much energy to keep going on both sides. Cause like you said, it's like you get a ton of energy from your family. And I feel like most people feel that way, but you're so right. When you love what you do, you can get an equal amount of energy from that. And then once those two things start flowing together, it can be really fun. But to your point, and I love that, you know, you're talking about it, there's nothing that's perfect about it. It's like, there are so many mistakes. I'm totally the person too, without the birthday party gift, or at school, sometimes I feel like I'm always like, wait, what? That's today. Or, you know, and I'm fortunate to have a lot of other great parent friends at the school to text and be like, wait, are we supposed to be doing that tomorrow? So I do feel like I'm sometimes playing catch up to where I'm supposed to be. But I think that you know, there's definitely a way to be able to do it. And because we've got our phones and we can get email at home and you can work at all different times, I think that there's like a win-loss to being able to do all of that. And when it all comes together and actually works, it feels wonderful. So it's great to hear that, you know, you're able to sell your company and have your baby and do all of those things simultaneously. Because generations before us, you know, there were so many more choices you had to make about how you were doing things. And today I feel like while there's certainly challenges to being able to do it, you know, we have more choices than previous generations of women did, which is really exciting.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And the other thing I'll just say is like, last thing that's probably worth noting that I think goes back to this like energy and happiness. The other people who work at Inspired Capital, the other co-founders are Lucy DeLand, one of my absolute best friends who I've known for 20 years, Mark Bastian, who I've sat with side by side for a decade, Penny Pritzker, who is like a life mentor that I like respect and admire in every way. They're just people I love and I get energy from in a way that is not, it's not like, a colleague I've been working with for a few years. It's like some of the people I trust and admire the most. And then my husband is like the world's best partner. And so I will say, I really believe in picking the right people to be around you. It just, it's a bit of like, you see how like people are everything. And if you get the right people around you, like your life is better too.
Oh my gosh. Completely agree. Alexa, tell us a little bit about transitioning from founder to venture capitalist. Cause I feel like, by the way, you know, for people that are listening, I feel like founders make the best venture capitalists. I feel like when you can have an operator that invests in you, somebody that understands the seat that you've been sitting in, like to me, there is no better person to have at your side to be invested in what you're doing and, you know, equally excited about the future. But from the venture capitalist seat, what was that transition like for you?
So just a few quick things. So I started on the venture side at Insight Venture Partners way back in the day. I spent a summer there and like loved every minute of it and like instinctively went there. And this was, keep in mind, like 2004, 2005. So like before venture was venture, if that makes sense. Like it was just like a followed my nose type thing and loved it. So, you know, while I was at, building LearnVest, very little money in savings, but I was doing like a touch of angel investing. And then after LearnVest got acquired, I started doing a lot of angel investing. And it just came really naturally to me. Like I love nothing more than meeting an exceptional, hardworking human who has a big vision of how to make the world better. And like wanting to help them feels incredibly natural. And like, honestly, I feel like it's a gift to me to get to try to help them. And so I started doing it. I loved it. I feel like because I'd been the entrepreneur in the seat, you kind of have just a better lens. The best way to describe it is like, because you've held the reins, like your hands have the calluses. So you like, you know how to look for the problems, the sore spots, like around the corners in a way that I would say just really real. It's not like a spreadsheet and a plan. Like you get the companies are organisms of humans, and they can only handle so much change and challenge, and it's a bit of an art, not just a science. And so I love it, is the headline. And then when I was at Northwestern Mutual, I was responsible for overseeing and running their venture fund. And I was doing that inside a corporation, which is almost harder. And so then one day I said, God, I would love to go do this untethered. And it became really obvious that I should do it. And again, back to the credit of my husband, he one day looked at me and was like, you would do this for free nights and weekends. You should probably do it for a living. You're so happy. And I just looked at him and I said, God, you're smart. And I was like, God, thank God I married you. And it was that minute that I looked at him and I was like, that's what I'm going to do. And he was like, great. And I was like, okay, let's go do it. And my point is, I don't feel like there was ever a transition out of being incredibly attracted and excited by entrepreneurs. And one thing I'll just say out loud, which is super nerdy, when I was younger, I never was obsessed with movie stars and pop singers. I was obsessed with CEOs and entrepreneurs. Mom, I want to talk to the CEO of Hershey. And I want to really know how he or she runs Pepsi Cola. my mom was just, what? Really? And I was just obsessed. It was just nerdy. But I thought people who had ideas and brought them to life. And I just thought they were absolute rock stars. And it shows you just what a complete nerd I was.
No, I feel like that's how I am today about things. I feel like even part of the podcast, it's so much fun to peel back the layers and to understand why people started their company or how they do what they do. So I actually totally understand that. And I love the idea of how it isn't really a transition. Cause I just, again, for people that are listening, if you can get investors over time that have done it, that have built their own companies and have taken them through, from one stage to the next, and of course to, potentially selling them or whatever the outcome is, it just makes such a difference. There's an empathy that venture capitalists like yourself have because you've sat in the seat and you know what it's like, and an experience. It's not just about the money. It's about the experience and the advice that investor can bring you. That is the most valuable part of any investment. Of course, the capital is needed, but the capital is only a small part of the equation. At the end of the day, it's what comes attached to that capital is so valuable. One last question, Alexa. I saw my brother come through Bonobos and sell his company after a decade. And so I experienced some of what selling your company can be like on the inside. And I certainly don't want to be the person to speak to his journey. But what was it like to sell LearnVest? Obviously, it's incredibly exciting to be able to do it. But what was the feeling like? Or because you had your daughter at the moment that happened, then you get swept away and sort of the next tide with the baby. I'm curious as to what the experience post selling your company was like for you in the immediate days.
I love Northwestern Mutual. I think they are one of the best companies in the world. They are so honest and high integrity and blue chip in every way. And I cannot stress this enough. I had such a wonderful time. The CEO, John Schlitzky, is one of the most, he was somebody I will pinch myself, how much I learned from just watching how he made really hard decisions, made me a better human, a better person, a better leader. And they really invested in me and I was so fortunate. And I'll just say most entrepreneurs sneak out the back door the second they get acquired. That was just not my experience. And it was really quite the opposite. I didn't just stay for what my commitment was. I stayed beyond it and could have stayed for a long time had I not gotten totally infected by this idea in my head of starting Inspired Capital. The normal stuff is integrations are always hard. And I think what was wonderful is we prepped for it. We knew it was going to be hard. So we went into it being this is going to be the challenges. These are going to be the things that go wrong. And we did a wonderful job of managing through all sorts of things. So I don't want to sound too rosy on this, which was would I do it all over again? 100%. Would I work with Northwestern Mutual 10 more times? Absolutely. And beyond that, I would just say, I think I learned a lot. Integrating companies is a skill set and I didn't have it. And I was fortunate that I got to learn it. And I had some awesome people like Christian Mitchell, who was the head of strategy, who was part of the acquisition, was my best friend. Is still a best friend through all of the years of the acquisition where, we would just talk almost nightly sometimes to figure out what chemistry needed to happen to make sure that we could like overcome a challenge we were going through. And it was such teamwork. So that's all. I had a great experience.
That's amazing. And I mean, it's been exciting to follow your journey from the sidelines and now have an opportunity to get to know you better. And super excited and congratulations on your new fund and all of the fun things that you're going to do there. And I look forward to continuing to follow your journey, Alexa. I really appreciate your time today. And I'm really looking forward to people having an opportunity to hear your advice directly from you. I personally learned a lot on today's chat.
Well, thank you. I'm so honored to have joined this. And again, Monica, I think the world of what you've been doing and your brother. I'm a huge fan. I actually ran into him the other night. He's awesome. And I just love the final thing I'll say. I love the collaboration between people like you and I. I think we really do care about, you know, raising the tide, which raises all boats. And I think as the future looks more and more towards innovation, I think it's just really wonderful how much you're paying it forward too. So thank you so much for even doing this podcast.
I hope you enjoyed the episode. For more information and tips from our guests, stop by monicaandandy.com or check us out on Instagram at Monica and Andy. If there's someone you want to hear from or a topic you'd like us to cover, please leave us a comment on iTunes. Thanks for tuning in.